You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Bomutsu, alongside me as always, three-time NBA champion, BJ Armstrong. How you doing on this Friday? The week has finally come to an end.
Only terrific, Bo. Only terrific. And what a game by the OKC Thunder. Oof. A statement game. Crazy. At home.
The rematch between the top two teams in the league.
Yeah, what a game.
Well, you say what a game. What a first three quarters. Because after that, it was done. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 40 points and, what, 8 assists in the first three quarters? The OKC Thunder really came out without Chet Holmgren and without Isaiah Hartenstein, which you would imagine against a team who has Mobley and Allen in their front court would be, very hard to win that game. And OKC came out and smoked them. What do you see from this one?
Well, a whole lot of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is what I see. He's just playing now. He's literally playing within the game. He's like a flow and a rhythm all to himself right now. He can't be thinking out there. He's just playing. His instincts are just incredible on both sides of the basketball. And they're playing with an elite confidence. They kind of understand their rhythm. They understand their flow. And I was really impressed because Cleveland is a really good team, right? I think they have the best record in the league. And you just saw OKC just... they dominated the game. I mean, Shai had 40 points literally in less than 30 minutes versus a very, very good Cleveland Cavaliers
team. And only 5 of them came from free throws, showing that he can't get it done without going to the line.
Yeah, you get it done how you get it done. And, you know, I have to give OKC credit. That was really good. And they did it without their starting backup center, okay? They're two centers removed from playing. So, you know, there's no Chet, as we know. Then there's no Hardenstein as in this game. And then they have a come out and have a game like this. So it was a great game for them, great signs for them. And I think without question, okay, now you have to acknowledge that the OKC Thunder in the Western Conference and perhaps in the NBA, they're the cream. Mm. Okay, that was a statement game there. So I would venture to say if they're not the best team in the league, they're the second best team in the league after today's game. When everyone's healthy, I think for sure they're the best in my eyes as we speak today.
Yeah. Well, Cleveland were pretty much at full strength and they got the brakes being off them. So I'm confident in saying that the OKC Thunder are the best team in the NBA right now. They're scouting department, they just seem to spawn random players out of nowhere. Brandon Carlson, a weird spelling of Brandon there. He came off the bench for 17 minutes and 11 points. Player who went undrafted, played a little bit for the Raptors 905 G League team and then the OKC G League team. And then somehow he just turns up tonight on a 10-day contract and is absolutely lights out. Alex Caruso returned. Obviously, he missed a few games recently. He gave them double digits off the bench. Isaiah Joe as well gave them double digits off the bench. And yeah, they took care of business. They got their work done early, as you like to say, BJ. Mm-hmm, and they had a chance to get their extended rotation into the game. And I think that they showed right now they're the top dogs in the league. And it's going to be pretty hard for anyone to take them out this year. Which team do you think matches up best with them in the Western Conference when it comes to the playoffs? Which team do you think has the best chance of knocking them off? Because I've heard some people say Dallas, and I've heard some people say Denver.
Well, if you're going to talk it about in the playoffs, right, which is a different mindset.
Yeah.
It's not about a matchup. It's being able to take advantage where they are weakest. They are weakest in their front court. Mm. So the team that would be able to best exploit that would be the Denver Nuggets. I mean, Shai Alexander on the perimeter. You're not matching up with that. He is the best guard. He is, let's just say it. He's the best player in the NBA right now.
He's the MVP.
He's the
He
best
is
player
the
in the
MVP right
NBA.
now. He's taken them to the best
The
record of the league.
MVP,
He's not missed games, and he's done it without their second best player.
the MVP, I'm not sure what that means anymore. Shai Alexander is the most impactful player in the NBA right now. But yes, for the sake of saying the MVP, he is the MVP, but he's the best player in the NBA. So on the perimeter, that's covered. I don't care what series they go in, what game they're in, they have the best player. They can say, we have the best player in the NBA. Now, when you get to the playoffs, now you start looking at where are we, and when I say we, the OKC, where are they most vulnerable? They're most vulnerable in the interior. Jokic can exploit that. Bigger teams can exploit that. However, if they get Isaiah Hartenstein back, they get Chet Holmgren back, which hopefully they will at some point. Now you're looking at a team saying, we have the capability to play and match the intensity or physicality of the game, provided they show up. So I think it's going to be a team that has great interior play. There aren't a lot of people that you can say have a player like a Jokic. So I think they're most vulnerable to a player like that, who could really exploit them and make them compromise on the defensive end by saying, we got to double team him at various times during the course of the game, and in this case, during a series.
BJ, I wanted to ask you about something not related to the league right now, a little trip in a time machine back to a place you're very familiar with, Hoops Gym in Chicago. Do you remember that?
Okay, yes, yep.
It's been trending online of recent because there's been some stories coming out. LeBron James went on the Travis Kelce podcast, the one that those NFL brothers do. And he was telling a story about how when he was in high school, he went to that gym to play against Michael Jordan and some of the pros. And he said that nobody could guard him. A slight contradiction to his own book, which said he didn't really play much. He just had a few jump shots and struggled to compete on defense. I was wondering if you were there that day or if you heard about that day and if you could set the record straight.
Mo, as you know, and as our listeners know, I'm not much into name dropping and
No, I just think there's a lot of confusion
yeah.
online. And if you were
No,
there or
well,
you were
hey,
around,
listen,
you
this
can
is what I'm
clear
going to
up that
say.
confusion.
Here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I'm going to say about that. Was I there? Listen, I was living in Chicago at that particular time. I knew Tim Grover then. I know Tim Grover now. And all of the players that were there. I will say this. There were a lot of players there. Let the stories be the stories. However, what I remember most about that gym was the competitive spirit that was there. I was pretty much at that particular time. I want to say, see, Mike, that had to be around.
Is when Michael's preparing to come back to the league. So it would have been 90, or the second time, I guess.
Yeah, it was. God, I can't remember. All of this is going together.
Would have
However,
been early
what,
2000s.
yes, early 2000. That's when I remember it because you know who would be great to comment about this because he was playing at the time. Was
Jamal.
Jamal
Yeah.
Crawford. And we had just drafted Jamal. Okay. And we had players like Ron Artest who would frequently go down there and play. So I'm quite familiar with it. There were so many players. It was literally a who's who because people were coming in because that was the place. And the thing that made that place so special was the discipline that was in the gym. Now, there was elite trash talking. Right. I don't know what was said. It was elite trash talking. Antoine Walker was, he was doing his thing. Michael brought a level of excellence to the summer and intensity that you just didn't go there to play. You had to go there to compete. That's what I remember more than anything. The environment was at an all-time high. So, but let the people that were playing. I was just on the sideline. Let the people that were playing here. But I can say this: Antoine Walker would be great Pete Myers, who I played with in Chicago, was there literally every day. I didn't go every day because at the time I was working in the front office. But Pete Myers was there. Maybe we can get Pete to come on because Pete was there. He was there. And I'm telling you, when I say there, he was there. And guys like Charles Oakley was there. And you had Antoine Walker. You had all these players were coming in. But, some of the guys, if I remember, Michael Finley was there. I'm just trying to think right off the top of guys who were there. But Jamal Crawford, Ron Artest, because they were playing in Chicago at that particular time, they were there. And the reason I know they were there is because they was coming to work out in the morning, early in the morning with the Bulls in the summer, so that they could go and play in the afternoon there. They were getting like they were going like 2-a-days in the summer just to work out because everyone wanted to work out in that environment. But I think it's fair for the players to have that. But I was there. I was in the
Okay,
building.
okay. But did a high school LeBron James
Let
cook Michael Jordan?
the people that was playing play. I was on the sideline. There was no Bo. I go by a different code. Okay. I don't kiss and I don't tell. I was there. I saw what I needed to see. But let the players share the stories. I don't think it's
I go by the same principle. But
yeah,
if she
so
wants
I'm
to
there.
go out in public and start telling lies on my name, I have
Hey,
to set a record straight.
I let the players who were playing talk. I'm going to stay principled that way. I wasn't playing. I had recently just retired. I was already in the front office, and there were a lot of players down there. I mean, literally, it felt like half of the NBA was there. It felt like all of the NBA because everyone was coming through Chicago to play because the games were literally that competitive. But, I can assure you that, there are a lot of players who, if need be, I'm sure someone would love to tell you what they saw that day. But I'm going to let it be. It is what it is. I'm the players that were playing need to tell that story. They need to tell that story.
Yeah. The trouble is a lot of them tell different stories. So now we don't know which to
Well,
believe.
hey.
So that's why I've come to the most
Well,
trusted voice in NBA media right now,
well,
in the only
well,
podcast that keeps it
well,
100% real and authentic.
well, here is maybe if we could get those people to come on, if those people come on the show, I will confirm the story. But they need to come on. I'm not gonna, this isn't a going back and forth. Come on, tell the story. Because we know who was there. We were all there, right? So, but let them tell the story. So, who was there? It's easy. That's easy. I don't have to say anything. You tell your story.
All right. All right. All right. Nice political answer. Once
Well,
again, PJ for
no, Mo,
president,
Mo.
2028.
No, Mo. Here is the difference. I'm, as
No,
you know,
I'm starting the
real name.
campaign. It's too late.
No,
That's going
real
to be the
name.
campaign slogan. That's the
Real
campaign
name.
slogan.
No,
Real
real
name, no
name,
gimmicks.
no
Armstrong for
gimmicks.
president, 2028.
Yes, because that way we will confirm it in real time. Not a he said, she said. We will confirm it. We know who was there. As a matter of fact, Bo, I have the ability to contact all of those people that you just mentioned. They know, we know, and all I'm going to say is let everyone come on and tell their story. I'll be more than happy to confirm it. I'll be more than happy. I'll be more than happy to let everyone come on who was in that gym and say, like, it wasn't like 10 games going. Well, actually, there were a couple games going, but everyone was there. Tell your story. Hey, Mo. Tell your story.
Do these pickup runs that used to happen? Obviously, you're over there in the States, right? And in the summertime, you get access to pickup runs. And I know there's some at UCLA, Rico Hines has his pickup runs and so on and so forth. Are they less prevalent now in the off season? Because I don't really hear many stories about now 30, 45 of the best players in the league all being in a gym
Well,
together during the summertime.
that's a great question. Listen.
Thank you.
Coaching has been replaced by training. Now guys are training. Now guys are doing one on one versus
Zero.
zero in this new version of the NBA. That's what it is. You have to play. Well, there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. So the training has replaced the coaching. Okay, coaching involves you figuring out how to participate on a team to win games. You hear me say this, Mo, winning matters. Now the training says, Mo, I think you can average 20 points a game. Let's work on your moves. Let's work on all your individual moves, Mo, so that you can do what you do. But the training doesn't entertain or involve winning. That's the difference. Training, when you're working out with your trainer isn't saying, here is your role on this team. It's just you working out with an individual to saying, we're going to get you whatever it is you're trying to get better at. Coaching says, us, we, and what we're trying to accomplish.
But what about in those pickup runs? It's not so much coaching. It's just the guys are going out and hooping competitively against each other.
That's not true.
Okay.
That's what you
Tell
do
me, because
as
I
a,
wasn't there.
yes, no, I'm telling you that involves, there's levels to this. There's
Yeah,
levels.
because I'm imagining the pickup runs that I go to and the pickup runs that Michael Jordan played
Yes.
in are very different.
Here's the difference. There's only one difference. When you are an amateur, you just got a pickup. When you are a pro, these guys are professionals.
Take the listeners behind the
Yes,
scenes of what the pro pickup runs are like.
when you are a professional, when you are a professional, you understand your limitations of what you can and can't do. You're a pro player. I'm not there to work on a double step back as a pro. I'm there to prepare myself for this 82 games. I'm there to mimic what my team, our team, is going to need and how I need to play and the type of conditioning I need to be in at the start of the season. Okay? There's no substitute for effort and energy. So the first thing you're there is making sure that you are in the proper condition to perform on day one. And there's no way to cheat that. You can't imitate conditioning. You can't imitate being in shape. The only way you can do that is you have to play. The whole concept of working out individually for a professional, in my opinion, my humble opinion, doesn't prepare you for this journey of 82 games plus the playoffs and all of the things that's required, the travel, the stress mentally, physically, and all those things. You have to play and prepare your body. There's no way around that. Every day you spend not preparing your body and your mind and your spirit for what entails to become an NBA player by just training without the wear and not, it's not even wear and tear. It's just the physicality. Mo, during the year, you're going to get bumped. During the year, you're going to have different challenges. During the year, all of these things. If you don't prepare yourself for that, how are you going to be ready for that? So a pro game, these guys are so good. They make it look easy. It make it look like a pickup game. These guys are actually working and they're incorporating what they're going to do during the year and they're imitating that. So for instance, if you're talking about a Jordan, because he was one of the guys that was there, you didn't see Jordan coming in saying, I'm just going to come down recklessly and just shoot threes. He was working on his footwork. He was working on his ability to catch the ball below the free throw line. He was working on how to react versus double teams. He was working on getting over screens. He was working on shooting the gaps. He was working on being a rebounder to push it out to make sure that he can deliver. There are things that you're working on that you know you're going to have to carry over to your team when you get back to your individual team. All of these pros, that's what they do. Another famous run was when Magic Johnson, these guys used to play at UCLA. We would play and you would see these guys working and bringing something back to their game. Notice I didn't say to their skill set. They was bringing something back to their game. Okay? What kind of game do you have? What type of game do you play? So what these guys are doing professionally is you're working on your game. There was no such thing as a two-way player back then. Everyone played. Everyone played, on both ends. Some better than others, but it's unheard of. A two-way player. Wait a minute, you couldn't play in that era if you couldn't match up on that end because the coaches couldn't allow you to go out there and play where the defense had to be compromised every time you matched up on the floor. So, what did those games look like, Mo? That's what they looked like. You saw a bunch of professionals working on their game. And you saw how they incorporated their workouts. You saw how they incorporated what they did in the weight room. Guys were doing yoga, whatever it is you did, you brought that to your game, right? If you were, for instance, Reggie Miller, Chris Mullin, you saw these guys and you go, oh, you saw what Reggie was doing to incorporate that in his game as he was participating in that pickup game. It
I mean,
wasn't just a random pickup game to like, hey, let me go get a little sweat. No, you had purpose. That's why you're a professional.
let me ask you this. If you could give me 10 names right now, if we're going to go to a pickup game in the summer, who's 10 players that you want to see on the court right now? Just off the top of your
Ooh.
head, the 10 players that you'd want to see in a pickup game right now this summer.
Oh, there's some like current players or
Yeah,
just
current
from any
players. Current,
era?
like this summer coming up, if we're going to go to a pickup game, who's the 10 guys you'd want to see in that gym?
Who would I want to see in the gym?
I'm a pencil in Wembanyama as the number one pick that you're going to put down.
Well, summer, the summertime is different. Okay.
Okay.
Summertime is different. Summertime is different. Okay. And the reason it's different is because, Mo, you can, there's a thing. I think this is an unwritten rule with professional players. Some players are really talented and gifted, Wembanyama being one. But then, Mo, we in this era, you always knew who would show up to the run. Some players are really gifted and they're professional in the fact that they maintain their preparation different than some guys who would play in a pickup game. For instance, on all the great teams, if you look at the teams right now, let's look at OKC. In the summertime, I think those guys would show up at the run. I think you got to have a minimum of 7 to 8 guys who would just show up at the run no matter what's going on. Okay. Now, if we were having a run in the summertime, the first guy that what I would want to be the leader of the run would be Russell Westbrook. I don't care what Russell is doing. He has been this way from day one. The man only knows one speed. He would be my captain for all summer league activities.
Okay,
And
who else?
the reason being is he's going to compete. Next for my run would be Shea.
Shay?
Shea shows up at the run. You know who else shows up at the run? KD.
Yeah.
The man is a the, that man there. I don't. He's gonna be 60 years old,
Yeah,
and we're gonna see KD.
everything we said about Jamal loving basketball yesterday, KD is the same way.
Oh, no, KD's showing up. KD is showing up at the run in the summertime. Now he's gonna show up at the run. Now I gotta have KD there just because he's gonna show up. Okay. You know who else shows up at the run? It's Evan Mobley as a young player. I think he
Because
shows
you've
up at
seen
the
him at
run.
these pickups. I've not seen him.
Yeah, Evan Mobley shows up at the Evan Mobley shows up at the run. Okay. I'm just thinking of a player. You know who else shows up at the run? Is Jaylen Brown. He shows up at the run. Trying to think who
That's
else
five. That's
shows.
five. So you got
Is
one
that
team.
five?
You got
Is
one team.
that five? Okay,
Yep.
I'm trying to
Russ,
think.
Shea, KD, Mobley, and Jaylen. That's
That
five
just show,
names.
that just shows up. That just shows up at the run. You know who else would show up at the run? Them twins.
The Thompson twins.
Yeah, them Thompson twins. And I think Jalen Green shows up at the run. I don't know. I think he shows up at the run. I think he shows up.
Two more names.
I'm gonna give you a name here that you it's gonna be unexpected. Norm shows up at the run
Norm
in the
Powell,
summer.
yep.
Norm piles up. Norm shows up. Norm is always at the run. Norm is always at the run.
And the final selection.
The final. Oh, Chet Holmgren. Forgot about Chet. My bad, Chet. Chet shows up. And you know why I love Chet showing up at the run is because bigs don't normally show up in the summer. Chet shows up at every run. Now, I don't know Jalen Williams as well,
Oh,
but
he'll pull up.
he looks like a guy who pulls up at the run. It's no accident. This is no accident that OKC is the best team, you know.
So I have a theory about OKC.
Okay, go ahead. Let me hear your theory.
I think the city of Oklahoma is so boring that these guys are so good because all they do when they're not at team practice is they must just be playing pickup with one another. That's my theory on how the Thunder are so
Man,
good.
no. Okay, that's OKC is a really nice city,
But
actually.
what,
It really is.
it's
It
not
really is.
Atlanta. It's not Miami. Is I know there's a lot of people going through the airport in Oklahoma, but
I
if the
was
flights ain't running, I don't know what there is to do in OKC.
well, all right. For me, it's a great city. Great food, great people.
Really? Great food in Oklahoma?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Really good food. Great barbecue there.
Really?
Oh yeah. Great food there. They really, really nice food. Very underrated. Very underrated
Maybe we'll have to
community.
go for the NBA Finals.
Absolutely. And
But
they're building a new arena out there, I heard.
yeah, there is one thing we do have to talk about before we get out of here today. The basketball world and the world in general lost a legend this week in Gus
Oh,
Williams. I don't
yes.
know too much about Gus Williams. Obviously, I know from historically going back and learning about the game, but I
Right.
feel like you can provide a better insight here. So talk to the
Yes,
people about
yes.
Gus.
Well, you know, rest in peace. Our thoughts and our prayers go out to the Williams family. As a young kid, you know, I grew up in Detroit. You've heard me talk about that, and I was very fortunate as a high school player. You know, the Detroit Pistons drafted this young player from Indiana University. His name was Isaiah Thomas. But there was a player that was my father's favorite player, and he would always talk about the Wizard, AKA Gus Williams. And Gus became my favorite player. He was one of my favorite players because of my father. And I can remember watching him in the NBA Finals. I studied Gus because my dad said, "Watch this kid. Watch this player. He can really score. He was a scoring guard, okay, a la Steph Curry before we knew what that was, okay? Because back then, Mo, point guards had to run the team. But their coach at the time was Lenny Wilkins, the great Lenny Wilkins. Not only great as a player, he was a Hall of Fame coach. He had these three guards. He had a three-guard rotation of Gus Williams, who, by the way, we should be campaigning for the Hall of Fame. He was a Hall of Fame talent, okay? He should definitely be in the Hall of Fame. The Wizard was that good. You ask any guard who played in that era, they will tell you about the Wizard. They had Dennis Johnson, the late Dennis Johnson, Hall of Fame player. And then they had Freddie Brown, downtown Freddie Brown. And that was their three-guard rotation. And they could all score. And they all played, had different games. However, they were just a formidable opponent. They were the version of what we saw later in the NBA with Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, and Vinnie Johnson. They were potent. And it was all led by the Wizard. The Wizard was like this scoring lead guard, Mo, who could just, when I tell you he had a mid-range and speed and athleticism and all of those things, he was a Hall of Fame player. He was my favorite, one of my favorite players because of my dad. My dad introduced me to his game, and I watched him, I studied him, and I tried to take parts of what he did to put into my game because he was so offensively, Mo, he was just great. And defensively, he would steal the ball, a la Allen Iverson. He was kind of like that player on the defensive end, very disruptive. Just a great player. I know they went to two consecutive NBA finals. I think they won one of them,
Yeah, they
if I
won
remember.
in 79.
Yeah, somewhere around there. I was a young kid, but I remember watching him, and he was one of the players, Mo, I was most looking forward to playing against in the NBA, and he retired the year before I got to the NBA. Or his last year was my first year in the NBA. So I never got a chance to play against one of my heroes. And I don't think I've ever said this, publicly, but Gus Williams, a rest in peace, your inspiration lives. And he was just a great player. And I admired him from afar. And I was just really saddened to hear about this, his health, I know, had declined some. And we lost him. But what a phenomenal, phenomenal player. And hopefully, Mo, he gets into the Hall of Fame where he's definitely one of the greatest players of all time
And
to play at that position.
may I say, one of the coolest nicknames,
Oh, the
the
Wizard.
Wizard. The Wizards. That's cold. Like,
I
yo,
love Mo.
that said, I'm Dumbledore before Dumbledore. You
Yeah,
know what I'm saying?
Mo,
That's the
please.
Wizards.
I encourage all young people. Like, I know we talk about, oh man, these guys are skilled. No, the
And
Wizard
it's
was
fascinating
like,
because when you go back and watch those tapes of him play, there's no 3-point line on the floor.
no, I know
But
that's what I'm
he's
saying.
just putting up, so you can't really tell some of the shots he's taking. You're like,
Mo, he was exceptional. So there's so many players like that. That's why, Mo, I have this fantasy of just saying, there's of you gotta like acknowledge all of these players. Like they just come, but we act like we this is because many times this is the first time you've seen it, you'll go, oh, I've seen that before. Like when you say Wembanyama, I've seen him before. I saw Ralph Sampson. I saw that before. When you see a great player today at the guard, you go, God, I remember the Wizard. And people are like, who's the Wizard? Where at? He was Mo. You ask any player, I don't care who, you ask Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, this guy was an all-star. Mo, he was a problem. Mo, that guy could like, he just got it done. And he was an athlete. Mo, he was sneaky. He could dunk on you. He had a jump shot. He had mid-range. He had floaters, run. Mo, he just had a. You know what, Mo? You when you when you know, now that I think about it, when you start saying, But Shea's a little bigger than him. But he played with the flow. Like, Mo, it was like there was the offense and then it was the wizard. Mo, he would break the plays, but he has such a feel and a command for the game. He can manage a game, he could score in the game, he could defend in the game, he could play isolation basketball. And Mo, he had, when I tell you, he would get, my dad would always said, you know, when Gus would get to the free throw line extended, he called it the sweet spot. Because when the wizard got to that spot and he would kick his legs, Mo, when he would shoot his little jump shot. And man, he was a fun player to watch. I loved this game. I patterned my game after the wizard. You know, there's a lot of guys that you take things from, but he was definitely one because he was such a threat. And I hope he gets in the Hall of Fame. I really do. And you know, rest in peace, and you know, our thoughts with your family. And but thank you. I have to say thank you because not many people knew that Gus Williams, that was like my guy. He was, you know, he was, I could relate to him because of his size and
That's how I feel with
but
Kenny Lofton.
hey, your inspiration wherever it comes from. You're
Zach
inspiring, so I
Randolph.
respect it. Yeah. Zevo, huh? Good.
But no, I appreciate you sharing that, B. That's another week of the Hoop Genius podcast. We'll be back on Monday. Scott will be back in the house with us, breaking down everything that goes on over the weekend. BJ, any plans for this weekend? I know there's a certain game you're going to be keeping your eye on.
Yeah, you know, my youngest, our youngest has he, you know, he's playing basketball and you know, I'm doing my duties. He asked me to coach this team of all the, you know, we have three kids and this is the only one that's ever asked me to coach. You know, the other two was like, "Hey dad, what do you know about basketball?" You know, that's a, but the youngest one said, "Hey, come on over, dad. Let's get it done." So we're 1-0, Mo. So
One and
I'm
oh.
updating you. Where I'm
All right.
updating you on the
I'm looking
journey.
for I want to hit two
So,
of them on Monday.
yeah, well, you know what, Mo? I'm a parent, and we are promoting, you know, Mo, you know, sportsmanship, gamesmanship, explaining and you know the rules of the game. So, you know, Mo, and we're not here to crush kids. We're here to, you know, we're teachers. We're parents. It's all love, Mo. It's all love. That's where we're at. That's where we're at.
That must be thrilling.
Yo,
I'm happy
Mo.
for you, bro.
Hey, Mo, I'm in charge this week of the snacks after the game.
Oh, what snacks you taking then?
I've
This is
always
my
had, you
area of
know,
expertise now.
yes, Mo, we have, you know, apples and oranges and hey, Mo, come on, like, get with the program. Get with the program, Mo, you know. You know, you have restrictions. We got to find out which kid has restrictions. So there's a lot of planning
Allergies and
going
the
on. But Mo, it's not about winning. We're not here, Mo, to be promoting. Crush him, little Johnny. No, hey, Mo. We're explaining the rules. We, you know, pass the ball. You know, all the things. You
I
know,
can't wait to see. I can't
hey,
wait till the day
Mo.
one of the kids tries to do a step back on your team and gets sent straight to the bench, and we'll see
Oh,
where all
Mo,
the feel good vibes
Mo, I can assure you this. I tell all our kids, you know, I have one goal every week. I told them, so we practice every Thursday, right? And last week we did not achieve our goal, which is we have eight players on our team. Everyone has to
Oof.
score.
Playoff rotation.
Yeah, everyone has to score. Mo, that's my goal. Now, last week we had seven kids score. And then yesterday at practice, the kid who didn't score, he scored all the points in practice yesterday. So, Mo, in theory, we should really be ready to rock and roll because I want everyone to share. And I love these kids. I love our team. I love our kids. Because, Mo, they you know what's great about kids, Mo, is that they just play. They just play, Mo. There's no contracts. Hey, Mo, there's no load management.
All these
The kids
guys.
are great until you get their parents complaining if one of them don't get enough minutes. Good
Hey,
luck.
Mo, you know what I, you know, Coach Sir, who's a friend of the show. So I was telling him, he was laughing. I said, "Why are you laughing?" Because I'm coaching this year. He said, "Well, you know what? You gotta abide by the first rule of coaching. You gotta lose your hearing." So my sense of hearing now, Mo, is I can't hear anything. So yeah, if the parents complain, but you know what I do? I love the kids because every kid wants to jump. They want to jump center. So every game we change who jumps center. Hey, Mo, they just play. So I'm having the time of my life, Mo. I don't worry about winning the game. And if there's a loose ball, Mo, we're on the floor getting it. I love it. I love our team. I love our guys. I love our group. It is so much fun. And thank our parents, all the parents in the entire league, to go out there. And it's fun though. We're having a great time in our community. And Mo, we just don't want. We don't want parents like you coming out there, Mo, talking about you got to win games and trying to be physical with our kids.
Okay, first of all, there ain't no
Yeah.
parents like me because I'm not a parent. Let's get that one before anyone
Oh,
comes
I
out of the
knew that was
woodwork
going to
throwing
get you. I knew
allegations.
that was going to get you. I wish everyone could have seen Mo's face when I said that. Mo, you're so afraid to become a parent. It's okay,
Yes,
Mo.
yes, yes, I am. I have nightmares about it constantly.
Mo, you would make for a great parent.
I
You would be a
appreciate
great,
that. That
you
that's
would
a
be a
very
great
nice
Mo.
compliment.
You would be a great dad. You would be a great dad, Mo. You really would. You
When the time is right, I've got a lot
know
more
what?
living to do first.
A little mini Mo. We could all see it. Little mini Mo.
Yeah,
The
you
guy
just.
comes out just talking trash.
Yep.
Mo, why does your son call you yo? Well, that's what we do. Yo, daddy, yo. I get it, Mo. A little mini Mo. He comes out with a beard. He comes out with a beard. You know what? Come on, Mo, get it done. Again, I'm encouraging you, Mo. Mo, I'm encouraging you. Mo, you know what? Come on. You got to do it, Mo. It's you. It's you.
I'm not opposed to it. I just got to find the right, the most important thing about having a kid is having the right mom to go along with the kid, I can't just be having a kid for the sake of it with just anyone. So let me find the right one first,
Okay.
and then it's no problem. You
Well,
know what I'm
ladies
saying?
and gentlemen, that's our goal. To find Mo the right one. Because you know what? That would be the greatest thing ever. That would be the greatest thing ever. Mo and little mini Mo. Little mini Mo. We'll call him MJ for Mo Jr. How about that?
I hit up.
How about that?
I
How
hit
about
up.
that? How about that? How about that? How about that?
Man, I really hope my ex-girlfriend's not listening to this show. But that's another episode. BJ, I appreciate you, brother. Enjoy. Good luck to the kids this weekend, man. I hope you guys have a great time. And to our listeners, have a great weekend as well. Subscribe to the show
Hey,
if you're new around here.
I
Go
got one
ahead.
thing, Mo. I got to say, as we were talking about little mini Mos, you know what would be phenomenal, Mo? Mo has a daughter.
Of
That
course.
would be, oh, this big tough Mo. Now he's a little softy. You know what, Mo? I'm fortunate to have two sons, right? It's great. But your relationship with your daughter, Mo, it's like nothing you've ever experienced. Mo, it's like nothing you've ever experienced, ever.
Yeah, as long as my daughter don't come out with a beard from day one, then
She'll be just like you, though,
oh, she'll be a
Mo.
savage. She'll be a savage.
But
That's
hey,
one thing for sure.
it's great. Hey, you have a great weekend, my friend. To all our listeners, thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time in your busy day. You could be anywhere, but you're always here rocking with us, and we appreciate that.
For real. That's facts. We'll be back on Monday, so don't miss an episode. And until next time, get buckets.